You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment. Wayne, I have to go back a couple of days. I have to go back to, in fact, 3 or 4 days, to Friday evening when S&P didn't give us a favourable outlook. In fact, a rather negative outlook. And then I came in on Monday morning and thought the RAND must be around about 15, but no, it was 1465, 1466. But then throughout the day, I noticed something going on, and that was the financial and banking shares getting hit quite hard.
Yes.
And then the bond market selling off. The next day we had, which was yesterday, of course, we had the MSCI re-weighting, and we saw gargantuan volume on the JSE Securities Exchange in excess of 64 billion rands, which is great for the exchange, but there was something behind it, i.e. number one, financial engineering, but number two, also more outflow from bonds and more outflows from foreigners for local equities. Do you think that something happened over the last few days, or was it just a moment in time?
To be honest, Lindsay, I don't know the answer to that. There is no immediately apparent reason as to why the banking shares in the last 2 days or so have come under distress. There's actually no, the RAND's behaving itself. The RAND's not much changed. In fact, it's, you know, it's 1460, 1470. It's the same. There's been no real economic news to prompt some sort of sell-off in banking shares.
Right.
But yet, as you correctly say, they have come off. I mean, first RAND's down at 63, 64 RAND again. It's where it was a couple of months ago. So it can only be related to what the rating agencies are saying, but that shouldn't be news to anyone. I mean, who's going to upgrade the outlook?
Yeah, quite right. But on the other hand, as you quite rightly say, the negativity is so well flagged and we're so used to it.
Yes.
We're almost numbed to negativity. We've got negativity numbness. But something happened that made people think, well, in fact, they've got insider knowledge that in February, the next rating agency is going to give us the next leg down. Or maybe it was because the Reserve Bank was so, so cautious last week. Or maybe it was because of the leading indicator going down for the 12th month in a row. Just a whole concatenation of circumstances, perhaps, contributing to this.
It could easily just be that.
Mm.
You know, and you know, next week the banking shares can go up 2 or 3% during the weekend. You won't even remember them falling. But I must say, I did find it a little unusual that the banking shares in particular are coming under pressure. And then today, I mean, Woolworths, I thought, came out with, you know, a half decent trading update for the 20 weeks.
Yes.
And yet, shares got punished as well. They're down, last time I looked, about 3 or 4%. You know, and I certainly didn't think that that trading update contained massively bad news at all. I thought it was reasonably good. You know, the SA operations doing quite well, food inflation back in the system. You know, Australian ones, of course, disappointing, but that is a little bit related to the refurbishment of the store. That's affected sales there.
And you mean the Elizabeth Street store, the David Jones
yes,
one?
Yes.
Yeah, and therefore David Jones' numbers were down. I looked at these numbers and I thought that the food, I know David Shapiro, your mate, goes to Woolworths. You're more of a I'll buy my own stuff and cook it myself sort of man. But David Shapiro, when his wife is away, likes to get the ready meals and stuff. And so 8.8% was the improvement in their numbers. And in-store inflation was 5.4%. So they've got a nice little margin between inflation and increase in sales, which is unusual for retailers these days. But I disagree with you. I thought the numbers were really, really pedestrian, 2% here, 2.5% there. And the share price on my 15-minute delayed screen, down 4.7%, which is actually quite bad. But still it's 54, which is still around about 22% higher than the low that we saw not that long ago.
Yes, I suppose it has actually gone up a reasonable amount, so maybe a bit of weakness wasn't unjustified. But yes, you know, unless we, the finance minister, the state president, whoever, we, South Africa, changes the path that we're on in the budget next year, and coupled with that, in the State of the Nation address, where we actually get decisive action taken to sort out effectively the debt, which means the state-owned organizations and the projection of the debt, you know, I actually don't know what we're going to do then, because then we will truly be in the creek without a paddle there.
Yes, indeed.
That story cannot carry on.
It can't. I mean,
you know, then
sorry, go on.
Yeah. Then we would then I would lose hope for our future economically and as a country. I would genuinely lose hope then.
That's because not a bad thing.
This is the last opportunity we have to actually sort it out.
Debt is not a bad thing, because if we didn't have debt in the world, then most people wouldn't be able to buy a car, they wouldn't be able to buy a house, yes. The United States wouldn't be able to continue functioning. I mean, look at the US debt, for example. But it can service the debt. We can't service it. That's the big problem in South Africa.
Yeah. Look, we haven't yet gone into a debt spiral. If we don't sort it out, we're heading there very, very rapidly. We can still service the debt, but you know, the projections, the government's own projections, if we don't sort it out within, I don't know, pick a number, 5 years,
yes.
You won't be able to service that debt.
Yeah.
You know, and then you've got to go to the IMF and ask for a bailout, and that would be catastrophic, to say the least.
Yeah, if we think we're having bad times at the moment. I remember a well-known economist from a bank who was dismissed from his position at that bank for various reasons said to me, maybe it's 3-4 years ago, and said to the media that he could see that South Africa will be going to the IMF with the begging bowl at some stage unless things have changed, and things have not changed. In fact, they've got worse since he made that statement. Let's not talk about South Africa now. Let's talk about another set of results in the last 5 minutes of our chat, please, Wayne. And you talked about creeks and people having no paddles going up those creeks. And Nampak this morning came out with results, and in the first half hour of trading the share price was up maybe 5-6%. I've just looked at my screen, it's now down 15%. Revenue decreased by 8%. R1 billion net devaluation loss in Zimbabwe. Trading profit reduced by 21%, and so it goes on. Nampak, a horror show.
No, it is, and it's been a horror show for actually quite a long time. The little forays outside of South Africa, I mean, even though they did say they got some money out of Angola now, have been catastrophic, to say the least. The amount of money that has been wasted there, and then they're selling the glass division because of, I suppose, they just can't compete against imports. Now, I mean, it is, quite honestly, it's awful.
It really is quite bad.
It's truly awful.
I thought today when I was chatting to somebody this morning, I thought, well, you know, maybe all the bad news is out the way now, and we can get on with having a look at this as a recovery story over the next few years. But no, not a bit of it. Getting completely clobbered. Santam came out with an operational update. The insurers also have been under pressure recently. What do you make of Santam?
I must say, I didn't see that trading update. I could only assume, given the state of the economy, that it's not a good update. And certainly given financial markets, that they haven't made much money on their asset base. But this is a very well-run company, so I wouldn't be expecting any sort of disaster.
It says here, it's very difficult for me to understand these companies with their embedded values and their new business written, etc. But anyway, the share price, I'm not going to even attempt that. I'll do that with a broker later on. But the share price up as we speak, before the market closes, up around about 2%. So the market's saying, actually not too bad at all. Wayne, we're going into that part of the year where all the results are now out. There'll be a few trading statements here and there, a couple of results here and there as well. But we're getting to the point where I'm going to be phoning you in a couple of weeks and saying we'll do the Wayne on Wednesday yearly wrap.
Yes.
Just give us a precursor of that. It hasn't exactly – it's been interesting, and it always is, but it hasn't exactly been easy riding in South Africa.
No, it clearly hasn't been. And it's been a case of disappointment, lost opportunities. I mean, 2 years ago with Ramaphoria, things were fantastic. But that's all reversed itself now. And I'm not saying the new administration have done nothing, but the market is clearly waiting for action. And I'm not talking about prosecuting people for state capture. That, by and large, doesn't affect investment markets.
Thank you.
I'm saying let's try and get this debt under control. And to get the debt under control, you've got to spend less, tax more, and sell something.
Yeah, I like the fact you say that a few arrests here and there are not going to do anything for the market or for confidence, because it's almost as though people are saying, well, you should have done this a year ago, 2 years ago, or it shouldn't have happened in the first place. It's going to make absolutely no difference. Some people will be gleeful and rub their hands together with glee, but you've got to do it, but it's going to make absolutely no difference to confidence towards South Africa.
It might change sentiments and all of that, but it's not an economic event, it's a political event.
Yes. Precisely. Okay, well, Wayne, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for your slightly briefer time this week. Wayne, on Wednesday, we'll be back at the same time. And Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.